Hey, we're back. We did it. We made it through another week. And we are here together to talk about some very important and cool things. I'm talking, but I hope that you do too. I feel like that'd be fun. Just maybe don't do it in public because people will think that you're like talking to yourself or to a ghost. Although a ghost would be timely because it's Halloween soon. So just tell people you're talking to ghosts, it'll be fine. I do all the time. I saw that the Tories had done an ad in Comic Sans. And honestly, I fucking lost it. We are truly in the Comic Sans timeline. I guess everything is funny now. Classic Dom, classic Boris, classic cunts not giving a fuck that while they play games, the pawns and the pieces are begging for just one day where the alleged grown-ups outgrow their dungarees and dumb games and get to business. It behooves me to tell poor Brenda that an election is imminent because our politically impotent Prime Minister has thrown his toys, his majority and his Brexit deal out of the pram. Donald Trump has finally learned to shut up, silenced by testimony at his impeachment inquiry. But alas, he will probably find his voice and his Twitter password shortly. Millions marched of all races and classes for the planet and a people's vote. Trains and veins were bursting with excitement and frustration as for a few seconds, each person thought, for their own reasons, that maybe their voices were visible after all. Some stuff probably happened in sport, but I mean, unless it comes from Rebecca Vardy's account, who cares? Director after director droned on and on about how Marvel films are shit, screensplaining to the plebs about what they should be swallowing at the cinema. Franco is finally fucking off from the Valley of the Fallen, and hopefully what's left of his corpse will end up in a bin in an independent Catalonia. Life is truly written in Comic Sans, and we are bobbing along the banter timeline. But every now and then, more and more these days, something happens. Something so fucked up that you begin to consider how we reached such levels of terrible, such as 39 people seeking a better life, saying goodbye, getting a cold reply from a country who dares to call itself great. All we have to say is, where were their visas? I wrote that for my performance earlier this week at the Week Behind Bars in London. I mean, I read the news every day. I keep up with what's happening. But sitting down and looking at everything that had happened sort of over the last sort of week or so was exhausting, because when you're following it just sort of as it happens, it's not like you don't get as much fatigue, I guess. But when you sit down and you just absorb it all at once, you're like, oh my god, the world is really fucked up, isn't it? But when you're sort of taking it step by step, you can be like, oh well, it's fucked up, but oh look, here's a, you know, video from the Metro about a dog that learned how to sing or something like that, and it sort of takes the edge off. But when you're just sitting there and just injecting more and more news into your veins, it's like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, you know. So that was it was interesting. Normally when I write about, like, you know, things happening out in the world, I would normally do it in like a really focused way. So doing several different things in sort of like a sort of roundup setting was really interesting to do, and kind of fun once I got over the absolute state of the world, really. I remember when I was writing it, I really wanted to put something in about sport. So I was looking up like different sport things that had happened, and I had no idea what any of it meant. I was like, I can't put this in because I don't know the context of it. I don't know what any of it means. I'm just going to look like a mug. So thankfully, I remembered there was this drama between two people who were married to footballers. I do not like the term wag. I think it's quite dismissive. It means wives and girlfriends, apparently. I've never really liked that. But anyway, I digress. Anyway, so basically, one of them had like a secret Instagram account for her friends, and somebody kept leaking stories about her to the press, and all the stories were coming from that. Like, they were things that she'd posted about on that account. And so she set up like this whole like spy operation situation. And so she made it so that only one person could see her account. And then she would like plant stories to see if they would leak. And then they did. And so that's, you know, for people outside of the UK who have no idea what the hell any of that meant, she posted this really dramatic statement, and at the end it was just it was this crazed plot twist. It was amazing. But yeah, I don't understand sport well enough to have actually spoken about it in detail, so I sort of took the easy way out and threw in a joke about the whole Colleen versus Rebecca situation that happened a little while ago. Poor Brenda, though, because it is looking kind of likely that we may have an election before Christmas in the UK, if you are keeping up with the psychodrama that is Brexit. We're not Brexiting by Halloween, I'm pretty sure of that, but an election could happen. And poor Brenda, also poor me, because I mean, it's difficult because I'm very interested in politics and current affairs, as you'll know. And it's not so much that I'm sick of it and I want it to stop, because I love the drama, but also I would really like some kind of stability so that people's lives would improve. And I don't see that realistically happening with a general election, to be quite honest with you. So, sorry, Brenda. Sorry, me. Sorry, everyone. You know, I don't have control over whether there's an election or not, so I don't know why I'm really saying sorry. But, you know, Boris is being Boris. Fucking twat that he is. By now, I'm sure you know how much I hate the Prime Minister. I cannot stand him. I genuinely, I can't. He's such a disingenuous, smug twat. I hate him. Cannot stand the man. Do not trust the man. Very hoping that the man will lose his seat if there is an election. That would be fun. But, I mean, it just keeps going and going. And you've just got to try and keep up, I guess. But if you're wondering some of the things that happened in the last month, that little poem will give you a little sort of bite-size summary. It's like news round. I felt like I was like, you know, like one of those teen journalists on news round. Or a grown-up journalist, because I am a grown-up. Like Emily Maitlis or something. Now there's someone I wouldn't mind being Prime Minister. Right, I've just seen something on Twitter. I was actually going to do a luxury hot take about something completely different, but I need to talk about this, okay? It is a canned Christmas dinner, right? It's got everything. Turkey, potatoes, gravy, cranberry sauce, carrots, Christmas pudding, mince pies in a can, right? And I'm not sure that's a bad thing. I mean, obviously the execution is not great and I think it looks very grim and I would not personally eat that myself. But hear me out, right? Christmas dinner as a thing is quite stressful. In fact, Christmas as a whole is quite stressful. We're a while away and I'm already stressed thinking about having to get presents, having to get everything together so that everyone, because I'm pretty sure that people are coming to my house for Christmas this year, so I've got to make sure that there is stuff for them to eat and drink, there is places for them to sit, presents for them and everything, and I am stressed the fuck out. And it hasn't even happened yet, and it's not even close yet. And I'm just thinking, can't we just knock all this on the head and just, like, you know, convert to something that doesn't celebrate Christmas or whatever? Because I don't know if I can do this, and I don't know if it's worth it. And do you know what I mean? I'm, like, properly stressing out. And I feel like having an easy to make Christmas dinner would probably take some of the stress away. Now, I'm not saying it should be in a can because honestly, this canned monstrosity looks fucking disgusting. But there's got to be a way to make it simpler. There has to be some way that we can do this so that it's not like the most stressful meal of the year to prepare. Okay? You know, I'm just saying, why doesn't Jamie Oliver dedicate some of his time to this instead of going into schools and food shaming kids or whatever it is he's doing these days? Why don't you do that, Jamie? Fucking contribute something for once instead of just taking everything away and telling kids that they shouldn't eat things or whatever it is that you do to keep your name in the headlines. You know, fucking fix the Christmas crisis. How about that? I'm serious because honestly, the thought of having to cook a proper Christmas dinner for several people is filling me with so much dread. What if I accidentally poison them? I've only got one oven. How do I decide in which order I'm going to cook things? Because if I cook one thing and I take it out and it gets cold, and do you know what I mean? And it's a very small oven. It's not a big oven. I'm not some kind of Tory MP with four ovens. You know, I'm genuinely worried about this. And I'm not saying I'm going to serve my family this sort of seasonal hell in a can, but I mean, there has to be an easier way. You know, like, why? Or maybe we're making it more stressful for ourselves. You know what I mean? Because I'm sitting here and I'm saying, someone has to find an easier way of doing this. Oh my God. But I mean, it's not like the law that you have to do this really complicated Christmas dinner with all the extra stuff and whatever. It's just this expectation from society that I have to. And people will be upset if I don't. And you know, you obviously don't care because you haven't done this for us. And I'm like, I'm trying. It's just really hard. But I don't know how we reach a point in society where we say, you know what, if this is supposed to be a time of togetherness and family and friendship and happiness, why are we allowing ourselves to get stressed the fuck out, or, you know, overcooking this perfect dinner and buying the perfect present and, you know, making sure that you look pretty and do you know what I mean? Because it's not just the dinner. Literally every aspect of Christmas, if you think about it, is about putting on this perfect image. you know, perfect food, perfect drink, your house is all lovely and decorated. That's another thing I hate, fucking decorating the Christmas tree. Do you know, I'm not actually sure that there is anything about Christmas that I do like. I don't particularly like Christmas shopping. I don't like wrapping up presents. I never know what to buy anyone, and everyone's very vague and, oh, you know, just whatever you think is best, because they're not trying to seem like, they're trying to make sure that they don't seem like greedy or materialistic. And I'm like, listen, just tell me, please. I won't think less of you. I'll actually think more, because I'll know what to do. I hate wrapping stuff up. I find it very, very difficult. Every year I consider paying someone to do it, and then I leave it too late and I have to do it myself. That's my own stupidity, but there we are. Cooking, Christmas, hate it. I get so stressed about it all, because it's all about making this wonderful Christmas that you're supposed to have. But why? Who am I trying to impress? You know, my family, they know me. They know that my life isn't this picture perfect, amazing thing. They know that I'm not perfect, and nothing about my life is perfect. So why am I trying to throw together this ultra impressive, sparkly, wonderful seasonal image that isn't real? Who am I doing this for? Now, I'm not saying that I'm going to invite them over and be like, you know, okay, we're just, we're having pot noodles. I didn't get anyone any presents. And if you want to see a tree, fuck off down the road to the park. I'm not saying that. I will, of course, try and make things wonderful and special. But I'm also going to be honest. And I'm going to say, you know what? Maybe I haven't done the stuffing the way that you would have done it, or the way that you saw on some Nigella Lawson show. Mainly because I don't like stuffing, so I'm really just going to do it in a standard way, because I don't know how to cook it, because I don't personally like it. But it's here, okay? I did some. And you're here, and I'm here, and we're together. So let's celebrate that, shall we? I've managed to pull something together, and it's okay. And yes, maybe it's not perfect like in films, or, you know, like on TV. But life is not like films or TV, and we're okay. But on a serious note, there really should be a push. I think it's probably too late to do it this year, so I suppose next year. But a way to simplify Christmas, you know, a simpler way to, you know, like life hacks, I guess, you know, simpler ways to make Christmas dinner, simpler ways to maximize the space in your house so that, you know, everyone can fit in and be comfy and happy, and everywhere's decorated in a way that looks vaguely presentable. A simple way to get around the problem of not knowing what to get people for Christmas and not being able to ask them, because you know they won't tell you. You know what I mean? The things that make Christmas difficult, if we can find ways to fix those problems, you know, maybe it will seem like a less stressful time, and we can just enjoy spending time with the people that we care about. And it will be just because we're happy, you know, and there won't be sort of that, you know, sort of feeling at the back of your head where you're like, I'm having fun, but I'm also sort of having a breakdown because I've been so stressed getting this all together, you know. I'm not saying it has to, like, you know, be like, let's take it back to the way Christmas was, because I'm going to be realistic. I don't think Christmas was ever this magical, wonderful time, you know, like in, you know, Christmas Carol and whatever. I don't think that kind of Christmas really exists. But I mean, or if there are ghosts of Christmas, instead of guilt tripping people and scaring people, maybe lend a fucking hand. Just a thought. If there is some Christmas themed ghosts around, if you want to help out in the kitchen, you're welcome to. If you want to go and spy on my mum and see what kind of things she'd probably like for Christmas and then report back to me, I will welcome that help. But, you know, maybe I am a Scrooge, as it were, but I do not expect to be haunted and guilt-tripped about that because it's stressful and I'm tired. I've had to go through a whole year and then you stick a really stressful, like, 3-day period on top of me that I have to prepare for months. Really? Interesting. Cute. I'm not saying that I hate Christmas or I plan to boycott Christmas, but I would just like it to be less of a, you know, stressful time. New Year, however, that I really feel we should abolish. And now we get into the true luxury hot take. I fucking hate New Year. I hate it. I don't see the point in it. I mean... What are we doing? Going out and going to parties and for what? Why am I going to stay up late? What for? I mean, the day's going to come anyway. Why have I got to stay up and, you know, sort of greet it, as it were? I'm tired, all right? You know, I've just had to go through the whole Christmas shenanigan, right? And now I've got to... Really? Honestly, I think maybe I have a bit of a vendetta against New Year's though, because it does not hold great memories for me. But I even before that though, I didn't really see the point in celebrating it, and I always thought it was a bit stupid. Like, even when I was little, I never really got New Year's. I was like, what's the point? And I really hate Auld Lang Syne. I hate it. I don't even have a reason for that one. I just hate it every time I hear it. Even the Mariah Carey version, and you know how much I love Mariah Carey, I cannot stand that song. I fucking hate it. And I hate when they play it at midnight and you have to you have to hold hands and sing it. And I'm like, must I? Really? So really, the truth is, maybe I'm like a Grinch, but for like New Year. I'm also a Grinch for Christmas, but I feel like that's valid because it's stressful when you're an adult. When you're a kid, Christmas is great because you don't have to worry, but when you're an adult, it's like, oh my god, what the fuck. But New Year, I've never really experienced a New Year that was really good, to be quite honest with you. What do I gain from it, you know? I stay up late, get drunk. I could just do that anytime. Why do I have to do it specifically then, you know? Although the one plus of New Year's, I like reminding people on New Year's that it's then only like a month until my birthday, so they have to buy me things. But yeah, so if I ever get into power, I'm gonna like have a committee that works specifically on making Christmas less stressful, and I'm gonna abolish New Year. We're just going to roll it over and get on with our life, lads. None of this nonsense. None of this. And that will be the centre of my campaign for election at the inevitable general election. I'm sure it will win me lots of votes. Are you looking for a platform where you can have your voice heard? Find your home and find your voice on Rumble, the brand new video platform where you can share your thoughts, express your passions, and find like-minded people and creators. Download Rumble from the App Store or visit rumble.me to find out more. Sweet boy, you think you're the devil. I don't dare to tell you the truth because I like to let you dream. And just like me, you need to see yourself through a certain frame, waiting for yourself to be the worst, so you can strive and thrive for something else. So I let you. I wait for you, waiting with you. keeping quiet, placing penny after penny into the holes inside your soul, to see if I can touch the thoughts that will solve your mystery. I wrap myself around your waist as the world passes by. You and I are alone on your quad bike, quietly closing another chapter. Swimming all night, from sunset to sunrise, kissing under the shadow of ancient castles and the mountains that move a little closer, creeping down every time we close our eyes. You're running from the man that you know you'll become. I'm always after you, like the sun chases the moon. I could never catch up, catching rays as I raise a glass to my own broken heart. I could blame it on astrology, but maybe the truth is you're just manipulative, a liar. I'm wondering when we start being honest. I'm wondering if you can be honest. You do what you can. I can't deny that. But some days, when I look through honest eyes, it really isn't enough. I can see you try. But sometimes I need to see you succeed, and I know that I can't. Instead, I watch you rise from the sleep that we share. I watch you lovingly lie that everything is real and everything is true. One day I'll be gone. I'm not sure whether you actually care about that or not. It's written in the stars. You dream of me. When you're awake, you can't be real or true. And like the sun chases the moon, I'm always on your tail, trailing a future where maybe you could be truly real in a way that isn't destructive to my dignity. Let me see another life where we're alone, and I no longer have to choose between my heart and my head, because they found a way to coexist, and loving you feels safe, and you are nothing more than a good man. Loves me, and I am nothing more than a good girl who loves you. I wrote both of those about the same person, right? It's weird how there are two wildly different perspectives on one person. Like, that's crazy to me. But I mean, that is the both great and horrible thing about life and love, is that you never really know what you're going to get from a person, because they're their own person and they're unpredictable and they're wild and crazy. And you can have your own expectations, but reality could hit you hard in the face, and I mean, how do you deal with that? I wanted to write about this person in a way that reflects them. You know, we had very special and wonderful moments. And we also had moments that were horrible and depressing. The duality of man, as they say in the memes. You know, because every day was a surprise. I imagine I'm like that to other people, and I imagine everybody is, but I mean, you know, they can talk about me on their podcast, can't they? but I adapted the second one sort of into a song, which I will inevitably release at some point. But it's weird when you're far away from a situation and you can look at it honestly and openly and say, okay, this is true, but this is also true. You know, two things can be real at once. You know, he can be both a liar and one of the most honest people I've ever met. He can be somebody who makes me feel like I'm the most important person in the world, but he can also be the one person that makes me feel worthless, you know? And it's hard to see that at the time in a clear way. I think you have to step back a little and then you can look honestly and evaluate who a person was in their multitudes. So I said I was going to do a Q&A, so I'm going to do it. I picked a couple of questions from Instagram, Tumblr, and my website, so I'm going to answer those now. I'm going to start off with the Anon questions. I've grouped them out. It's very organised, if you could only see, but it's the most organised thing I've ever done. So the first one, will you do another poetry competition soon? Maybe, I don't know. I mean, sure, you know, I don't know when. The problem is I have a lot of stuff scheduled for the next few months. So, you know, and it's busy work. So, you know, it's, you know, with running a contest or anything like that, it's not just a case of sitting back and waiting for the entries to come in. There's a lot that goes into it, and I want to, obviously, if I'm going to do it, I want to make it, you know, good and fun for you guys. So maybe, but I don't know when is the answer to that. Why did you specifically call out, do you know what, I'm reading this in a really accusatory way and I don't think that's how this person meant it, so I'm going to start again. Why did you specifically call out France in Calais and Dover? Are there any other EU countries that you like? I did mention France in the lyrics for my song Calais and Dover. I have actually mentioned France in other songs, weirdly enough. I've never been to France, as it goes. I'd like to. I like pretty much all the EU countries. I don't hate anyone in the European Union, really. I don't have any beef with anybody. I love all my EU friends equally. In regards to the lyrics for Calais and Dover, the reason that I mentioned Calais, firstly, there is obviously a very well-known route between Calais and Dover. Also, Calais and Dover rhymes with maybe it's not quite over. So, it was like for artistic reasons, I guess. I don't really know, like, anywhere else that I could get that kind of rhyme with. So, Yeah, that's why. It's not like I'm showing favoritism to to France, but yeah, so that's why I specifically mentioned France. And I mean, apart from maybe the Republic of Ireland, I would say that France is probably also the country that the UK has the closest sort of day-to-day relationship with. So I guess that counts too. But don't worry, all the other EU countries. I still love you all, and I am not looking to Brexit. I hope that clears that up. Is there any reason that chain smoking has been added back to your live set list? I just like it. That's all, really. I try and sort of balance performance set list so that it's not just me self-indulgently going on and on and on about myself and my relationships and so on and so forth. So I can't have too many that are about me or, you know, relationships and stuff like that. You know, so there's a variety. And so chain smoking is just one of the ones about, you know, of that kind of vibe that I wanted to put in. There's no like set in stone reason or anything. I just like it. So the last non question that we have that I picked out, what mascara do you use? I genuinely picked this question because it makes me feel like Andy Burnham. It's going to be a very small number of people that get that, but there we are. I just use whatever I can find that's cheap. I just, like with notebooks, I don't spend a lot of money on it. I think the current one is something from Superdrug. Hang on. Let me see. Can I have a look? It's some Kate Moss thing. It's purple, but I really can't tell you more than that because I don't know. But yeah, it is, I think, from Superdrug, but I don't know. It lasts a long time, if that helps. I haven't had to get a new one in a while. Okay, so this question is from Sarah. Do you have a favourite poem to perform? Oh. Not really, no. I have poems that I hate performing, and so I don't. But I don't have anything that particularly, you know, I think, oh, I always want to do this one. I have some that I think are quite, like, other people like me to perform. I've never performed Old Brown Eyes Is Back and not got a good reaction. So I think that's something that people like. So I, you know, will normally include that. Do you know, I've just said that and I've realised that I didn't do it at my last performance. I'm talking shit at this point. But anyway, but you know, stuff like that. For some reason, lots of people asked me to do Glasgow Caledonian. So that's apparently something people like. But I mean, I don't personally have anything that I specifically think, oh my god, I have to perform this right now. And that's not a reflection on my thoughts on my work, by the way. Like, I, you know, it's like with the European Union, I love all of my poems equally, except I hate some of them. I don't have any secret EU countries I hate, by the way. Apart from maybe the UK at this point, but you know, I think that's my right. I have citizenship. What are they gonna do? Rose has asked, why wasn't Calais and Dover on the standard edition of Sleepwalking? Because I wrote it later and I recorded it later. Basically, all the other tracks from that record I did a while before. Something similar happened with the first EP I did, Wildflowers. I had a song, Hard Drive, that could have gone on that realistically if I had done it like a little bit sooner, but I hadn't. So literally, like, I wrote it like the week after the EP was sent to stores, and so I couldn't include Hard Drive on Wildflowers. And the same thing happened with Calais and Dover and Sleepwalking. About a week or so after it was distributed to stores, I wrote and I recorded Calais and Dover, and I couldn't put it on the standard edition because it had already been sent to stores. And so, you know, like streaming services and, you know, Spotify and iTunes and whatever, if I had pulled it back out so that I could include Calais and Dover, it would mean having to delay the release, and I didn't want to do that. So what I decided to do was I decided to include it on the deluxe edition, which I had a bit more sort of leeway in terms of time, and I would release it as a single so that people could either get it through the deluxe edition or they could just get it as a single on its own. So that is why I did that, because it's literally just I wrote it too late for the deadline for it to be in the standard edition. So sorry about that. Kylie asked, what are your plans for Halloween? I don't know. I can tell you what your plans for Halloween should be, listening to my special episode that's airing on Halloween. Yeah, you should listen to that. It's going to be really good. My major plans are I'm going to be handing out stuff to trick-or-treaters, I guess, and just watching scary films and hoping that my, you know, the sweets I've got for them will mean that they won't, like, egg my house. That'd be nice. So I don't really have any major plans. Like, I don't really, you know, I don't really dress up much anymore. I'm not really one for Halloween parties because, you know, I like to celebrate Halloween by feeling a bit spooky and stuff, and I don't feel like I could do that at a party. But if I'm at home watching like scary films or something like that, then it's a bit different. But yeah, you should definitely check out the special Halloween episode, which, by the way, because I know that normally episodes are available from sort of around 10 a.m. in the UK and whatever time that is everywhere else, I don't know. But for Halloween specifically, it's going to be available from 3 a.m. So it's like super spooky hours. So you can check it out like all day and just like have fun. Anyway. Eleanor has asked, do you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend right now? I do not, because I am secretly a ghost. No, I'll get round to it when I get round to it. Do you know what I mean? You know, it's not something that is massively impacting my life. You know, I'm not like sitting alone at night crying of loneliness because I'm not, you know, in a relationship. I just it's like I'll get there, I'll do it when I do it, you know what I mean? At the moment I'm just, you know, working a lot on, you know, new music and new poetry and things like that. I'm, you know, having fun, living my life. You know, it's not a priority, if that makes sense. If it happens, cool. If not, I am more than enough to keep me interested and hooked on life, you know? So, it sounds so weird. This question comes from my friend, actually, my very good friend, Dominic. Which person from the past would you like to meet and why? Oh my God. Wow. I have a list, a long list, but I suppose I really ought to just pick one. Okay, I think I've picked Judy Garland because, firstly, I love her and I would want to be able to tell her that. And I would love to, like, have been able to see her perform because obviously she... Unfortunately, she died before I was even born, so I never got that opportunity. You know, I can look at videos, but it's not quite the same. And she, you know, she always seemed like such a wonderful person, you know, in interviews and when people talk about her. So I would love to just meet her and hang out, and it would be very fun, and I'd really love that. So definitely, definitely her. Okay, I will probably do some more questions next week on next week's episode because I've got a lot of things that you guys wanted to know, but I will, I guess, we'll get back into this on the next episode. If you did want to send in other questions, you can do so. The link will be in the description, so you can do that. Adding player after player to my playlist. I'm at peace with being completely different to the angsty but appreciated anti-hero I envisioned. Sometimes I wonder how I will be remembered. Is love really the greatest gift that life has left me? Am I selfish for wanting more? Wanting to be more, to have more. I miss my moments, my messy naivety. Minute after minute of... You know what? I honestly don't remember. I don't dare to remember what was so great about the greatest hits of my glamorous life, because 1 second in the arms of my past will leave me pining for the rest of whatever I have left. I try to be grateful, getting up every day, relieved that I made it to make friends with another 24 hours. And every now and then, I forget how it feels to greet my pillows with painful tears that scream so loud that I wish I was deaf, so that I couldn't hear them as I stared down at the reality that I was wishing for death again after banishing the wish with all the other anxieties I had learned to avoid. Sometimes it's like I can't do anything right, and I spend those 24 hours being my worst critic. That I can't just be grateful for life, for time, for love. Jesus, kid, is it really so bad to be alive, to be out here, to be out loud? Is it really so bad? I feel like that's like a letter of concern to me at several points in my life. You know, like looking back and saying, cheer up, love. You'd probably not enjoy being dead as it goes. And one day you'll quite enjoy being alive, like fucking hell. you know, I try and remain positive about things and retain this kind of, you know, attitude of I want to be here. And, you know, for a long time, it's been good, but it hasn't always been like that. And while I was looking back throughout my life for this project that I keep talking about and have given no real concrete details on, I was, you know, ending it with looking at myself and, you know, I can't talk about myself and who I am and how I've reached this point in my life without acknowledging that, you know what I mean? So I talked a bit about that in this new thing, and that was one of the things that I wrote. You know, it was like this kind of frustration with myself almost, because, you know, I know that we're in this time where people are more open when they are talking about, you know, mental health, as it were. And, you know, there's the whole it's okay not to be okay thing that everybody tweets. But to be quite honest, I think that there are some people who tweet it and don't mean it. But that's another story for another time. But I mean, I can read that and it's still not going to mean shit to me if I feel, do you know what I mean? I feel how I feel, and it can be hard to see those things and to be like, yes, that's the truth. That's the reality. It is fine if you need help and you should ask people and you know what I mean? But it's hard to acknowledge that at the time. And obviously I cannot yet time travel. I am working on it, but I can't yet. And I can't go back to her and say, hey, not only cheer up, but like, maybe go to the doctors, sis. Maybe talk to somebody. You know, I can't go back and change the way that I reacted to those things. And it's like, I have this frustration almost, and I had it at the time too. I had this frustration. It was kind of like I saw the way I felt as like a separate person. You know what I mean? And it was, I felt angry at myself. I was like, why, you know what I mean? Why are you doing this? Why are you being like this? And it was hard. And so I was kind of thinking about that, because it is part of who I am and it's part of why I am where I am now, you know. And so I decided to talk about it. And it was, weirdly, not one of the more difficult parts. There are some parts of it that were very difficult to work on, because it's very difficult to come face to face with those times of your life. But that was relatively easy, because like I said, I always saw the way that I felt as like, it was like it was a different person. It wasn't me, you know? And so it was very easy to kind of just look at it as like a separate entity, you know. And maybe that's not the healthiest way of dealing with these things, but I mean, I'm just a bitch with a podcast and I'm not a medical professional, so, you know, I'm just saying. But it was like I was talking to somebody else, you know, and trying to pull myself away from this other person who was trying to drag me down and keep me in this place, you know what I mean? And I feel like at the moment I've escaped, but I mean, who knows? that the new holiday single, Christmas at Halloween, and receive the radio edit immediately. Find it on your favourite music provider at jenniferwan.com. That's all for this week's episode, but I will see you on Thursday, actually, not Sunday. Thursday is the next episode. We have the Halloween special that will be available from 3 a.m. UK time on Thursday for Halloween. It's a very spooky, scary edition, so it's going to be really fun. In the meantime, you can find more of my work on my website, jenniferwan.com. There's lots of free content that you can find, videos, audio stuff, stuff you can read, and also links to my paid content. You can find me on social media at Miss J Squared on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, Rumble, YouTube, all the places really. Thank you to my Patreon subscribers, Amanda, Kylie, Melissa, Anna, Sam, Katie, Christina, Josie, Gabriella, David, and Eleanor. You can support this show on Patreon, or however you say it, I don't know. the link for that is in the description. You can get benefits from $1 upwards. There's lots of early content, free merchandise, exclusive releases, and things like that. You can also access the early release program through one-off donations to PayPal or Ko-fi, and the details for that are also in the description below. I feel like a YouTuber when I do this last part. It's fun. Anyway, I will see you guys on Thursday. And until then, good night, my love.